Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing it late night. I'm here. It's late. It's in the middle of the night, but I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to chop up some good game. I'm not going to keep y'all too long, but we're going to chop that game up like we normally do. Let everybody know that we're live right now. If you're up, turn it up. Get you some popcorn. Get you something to drink and tune in and vibe out with me tonight, because we're going to do how we do. And what we're going to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, let's take that real quick commercial break. Let everybody know. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. And when we come right back, we're going to get right into the game right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
If you are in need of credit repair services, and you're looking for a company that is professional, knowledgeable, and can get you results, contact Mastermind Credit Restoration. You can contact them by phone at 832-626-3900 or schedule a consultation online at themastermindcreditrestoration.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Mastermind Credit Restoration LLC.
Are you ready for a guaranteed solution to end white supremacy? Tired of worrying about your safety, finances, and well-being? That's because you need spiritual protection in order to put these deficient white supremacists in their place. Imagine having the upper hand. At StarKnowledge.net, I teach black people how to connect to the hidden name of God in the Bible, the Elohim. That will help you speak your desires into manifestation. And together we can cast out the end white supremacy. Only at StarKnowledge.net. That's StarKnowledge.net. That's StarKnowledge.net.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Stop overpaying for supplements. Static Supplements is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much, much more. The Static line offers all natural ingredients, lightning-fast delivery, and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black-owned and operated. Go to staticsup.com. That's staticsupp.com and see for yourself. Let us help you be the best you that you can be. Never settle. Never give up.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. Ladies, is your stomach sticking out more than your butt? Fellas, is your chest looking like you can fit a C-cup sports bra? Walking around here looking like Megan Thee Stallion about your body? If you answered yes to any of these questions, check out SolomonsFitnessWorld.com. Solomon will help you transform your body ASAP. Trainer Solomon Pratt, he is the best. He offers customized online personal training from his app, and he sells the best ankle power and booty-resistant bands in the industry. Solomon Fitness World bands work well for men, women, and it will tone your body anywhere. So go to SolomonsFitnessWorld.com right now. Enter the discount code Tariq and save 10% on your order. SolomonsFitnessWorld.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back. I got that late night music on y'all ass. I got that late, smooth, mellow music, ladies and gentlemen. We're in here. Glad to have y'all in here, ladies and gentlemen. Had to put on some real nice Mackin music for tonight's broadcast, because it's late, so you know how we got to do it. Glad to have a lot of y'all tuning in. It's still late, and a lot of y'all are tuning in. Shout out to everybody who saw the news item today, where they featured me on the news out here in LA. They did a great piece. I'm going to show it on Sunday's broadcast, because I'm doing the unseen broadcast today. I can't really show that with the audio, so I'm going to show it on Sunday if you haven't seen it. But it's on my YouTube channel, where they did a story about me out here talking about the Hidden History Museum. Nice, beautiful piece they did. And shout out to Aziza, the lovely sister, the lovely FBA sister who was in charge of the story. Very, very lovely sister. And people are very hyped about it. I just looked at my emails. I got a ton of emails from other media outlets in LA. Everybody is very excited about the Hidden History Museum. And I have to thank you, family. You guys are the real heroes here, because it was you that's helping to make this thing happen. I always want y'all to understand, it's not just me. It is the grassroots efforts of all of you that's making this happen. And one of the things about the news story, and let me just play a little screenshot of it. Let me grab it real quick to show y'all what I like about it. I'm gonna show some stuff on the screen here. Hold on, let me show a little bit. You won't be able to hear the audio because, what am I doing? Hold on. Y'all bear with me one second. I just wanna show something here, what I like about this news story. We're talking about Biddy Mason and Dr. Welsing and all these people. Let me show y'all. Hold on. Let me turn the audio down here. Y'all bear with me one second. I just want to show a little something here where they're talking about the museum. Hold on one second. I'm going to just show y'all. Y'all won't be able to hear the audio because of the way I got it plugged in, but this is me talking about the museum. And I like this shot when they went back to the studio. I want to see if you can hear. You won't be able to hear it, but I like that they got Biddy Mason in the back. I want y'all to peep the visual here. They got Biddy Mason in the back. They got Dr. Welsing in the back and Dr. John Henry Clark in the background. I love this shot right here. I think this is very powerful. This is what I like the most, more than me being in it, just that we got these icons out here, putting these icons that nobody really talks about, we're putting them on a pedestal. They're being blasted to millions of people right now. That's the power of us being on code. Just let me let this sit for a second. I just want this to sit. This right here just kind of tingles my heart right here. This shot right here, family. See, people are going to follow your lead. See, we don't sit around waiting on people to do our work for us. We do the work and then you make them get on board with it. I love this shot right here. We're talking about icons that the dominant society, they don't really want to give props to. It's up to us to do that, and that's exactly what we're doing. We can bring props and spotlight to our icons if we just get on code. We have to do that. It's up to us to do this. And when we do it, understand, Black people, especially the foundational Black American family, and no, this is no shade to the brothers and sisters in the diaspora, but what we have to understand, we are the culture. Black family, we are the culture. People follow our lead. If we just get that in our heads, culturally, everybody pretty much follows our lead. I'm so excited about this damn museum. We're working hard getting everything knocked out, finalized. We're working hard behind the scenes, and we're doing some good work in front of the scenes too to let everybody know about it, and everybody's getting very excited about it, and everybody's on board. I had a conversation with my good brother, the OG Ice-T, today. He's so on board with the museum. He wants to do whatever he can to make it pop off. When we do the whole West Coast dedication, he's 100% on board. Everybody is excited about the museum, and we're still taking donations. We still need, you know, to get a couple of other milestones there to make it easier, make the process easier for us so we can get everything knocked out soon, because I don't want this to drag on. I want to get this thing knocked out so we can get it and just start getting busy with it. But again, shout out to the family. We're making this thing happen, and I'm so proud of all of you for making this happen. But I digress. Where are my East Coast people? Again, I was talking to my brother Ice-T today. I was really checking on him to make sure he was good. Boy, the weather in New York, in Jersey, man, the weather is crazy as hell. We already got a hurricane down there in New Orleans, and you got massive flooding out there in New York. Did y'all see some of the images in New York? Man, you had subways, like a tidal wave of water going in the subways. People in New York, their basements are being flooded. Buildings are being flooded. Rats are swimming around and shit. It's crazy in New York. And then in Jersey, there was a damn tornado. I'm like, man, what in the harp is going on here? Is this the work of the harp machines? Do I need to put on my tinfoil kufi? I'm not going front. This feels very harp machine-ish. Boy, this feels very harpish. First, there's a big earthquake in Haiti. Now there's crazy flooding out there in New Orleans. And now New Jersey and New York is getting hit up. I mean, what's going on? It's insane. Shout out to all my New York people. I hope my New York people are okay out there. Somebody said there were flash floods in Tennessee. So hope the family is okay. Because, hey, we don't look. I'm a person, I don't trust nothing that, I don't trust the white supremacists at all, because they know how to control the environment. See, the white supremacists, in order for them to control people, they learn how to control the environment that people are in. This is why the white supremacists are always learning stuff, which is a good thing. The white supremacists, they know stuff. They really do. They're always studying stuff. They're studying the ocean. They're studying the soil. They're studying the trees. The white supremacists be up on everything because they want to learn everything about everything so they can better control the world. If they can control the environment, they can better control the people. And family, let's be real. I know it sounds tinfoil koofy-ish, but the white supremacists, they've been modifying and messing with the weather for over a century, way over a century, going back to Nikola Tesla. Tesla was out here making earthquakes. Look up Tesla. He had little machines that could, you know, he done went and studied some documents about science. You know, a lot of them get those old Moorish texts where they get from the Freemasons. A lot of the knowledge is in Freemasonry, by the way, but that's another story. But they get all this old knowledge and learn science and start modifying the weather. And Tesla was making earthquakes happen back in the day. I'm talking about, I think, the 1800s. Y'all Google that. Yeah, these people have been doing this for a long time. They've been able to modify weather. Again, I was just in Dubai, and it's so hot out there, they know how to modify the weather to make it rain in order for it to cool off. You understand? But let's be clear. People have been dealing with science for a long time, and they got it from black folks. See, this is why we have to tap back into our history. Some of y'all have been over to Egypt. Y'all been to Kemet, and y'all seen some of those old artifacts that they have where they show these ancient Egyptians with what looks like electricity. It looks like they have a damn light bulb. If you've been over there to Egypt and you've been to the museum, many of you have, they have something that looks like a light bulb and electricity that's thousands of years old. They have a statue with that and some hieroglyphics on the wall that looks like electricity. So we've been doing this type of stuff for a long time. It's real heavy, but weather modification is a real thing. That's definitely a real thing. But y'all don't trust the white supremacists, though. Because, see, they'll do something slick with the weather, create a natural disaster, and then say, hey, since we have a natural disaster and we're going to have to put people in shelters, in order to get in the shelters, y'all need to get a certain shot. So they'll do stuff like that. I don't trust anything they do. So yeah, all the electricity is off and we got some shelters down the street. And in order for you to get food, you got to come up here and make sure that you have a certain shot. If you want to get water, you better make sure you have a certain shot. See, they'll do stuff like that. I don't put anything past them. Because see, these people are desperate right now. Y'all see what they're doing down in Texas. In Texas, boy, they slipped in that abortion law where women in Texas, you can't get an abortion if you, the minute you get a heartbeat, the fetus, if it gets a heartbeat, no abortion. Abortion's illegal, and they've deputized people to follow women around. If you go to an abortion clinic or if they take you out of state for an abortion, the Uber driver can get sued, the transportation company can get sued. If women are sneaking around trying to get illegal abortions, they're deputizing the public to find out who they are. It's real right now. It's real right now. They're doing this in Texas right now. This is because, listen, the white supremacist numbers are dwindling right now. And they always try to put that abortion thing on black folks, on black women. A lot of white women be getting these abortions, and that's the problem. That is the real problem. Let's be clear. They don't give a damn about no black woman getting no abortion. It's all these white women who's getting abortions. That's the problem. They want to stop the white women from getting the abortions. What you have, you got a lot of white women out here who are on meth, and they be out here doing something strange for some change, out on the streets, giving up the sweets, giving up plenty for a 20. You understand? Giving a Hummer for a 100. You understand? So they get knocked up. They be out here having trick babies, getting knocked up by their tricks or whoever. And they be getting abortions. Or the white woman be out here having a little college fling, having the Negro football team run a train on her. She gets knocked up. She gets that abortion. And, you know, nobody knows. So these white women be getting these abortions left and right. And that's what they want to stop. They want to stop these white women from getting abortions because they understand that getting these abortions, that you get too many, it starts messing up your womb after a while. So they're going to have to stop that. They need some white babies out here. These white numbers are looking bad. These numbers are dwindling right now. So they're like, oh, hell no. Fuck Roe versus Wade. Damn that. Y'all better start having some white babies out here. Because see, what they like to do when they talk about abortion numbers, they try to break them up in ethnic groups. See, when it comes to white people, they'll break white people up in ethnic groups. They don't do that with black people. They don't break us up in ethnic groups. So all black Americans and black immigrants and whoever, they lump us all in one big number. But what they do with white people, they'll break them down in white, and then they'll try to break up the white Hispanics. But it's all one and the same. See, that's a little con game, because down in Texas, they say 26% of the people who get abortions are black women, or either 29. It might be 29. And then they say 26% are white women, and then they say 36% are Latino women. But Latino and white's the same damn thing when you look at it. So it's really about 64% of the white women who's getting abortions. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you don't pathologize whiteness, though. You're not supposed to pathologize whiteness. You don't put whiteness in a box that is negative. Abortions are seen as something that's negative, and you don't put whiteness on that. You always minimize the whiteness when it comes to that. But truth be told, 64% of the white women are getting abortions. They just break them up in ethnic groups. You know, they play these little numbers games. And speaking of Texas, y'all boy, Dog the Bounty Hunter. And I say Texas because Dog the Bounty Hunter, he was talking about his racism. He was on Entertainment Tonight and he was talking about when he went to prison, how he got a pass for saying the N-word. And he left out that he went to prison for killing a black man down there in Texas, by the way. Let me play this clip of Dog the Bounty Hunter. See, they keep trying to redeem Dog the Bounty Hunter. Now, if a black person says anything bigoted, boy, they run them through the ringer, just like DaBaby. And he didn't even say anything bigoted. But Dog the Bounty Hunter, this dude went on a damn anti-black rant years ago, just saying nigga, 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 just going off with nigga, nigga, nigga. I'm talking about with the hard ER. This wasn't hip hop nigga he was saying. He was saying white supremacist, dirtbag, crystal meth style. But they put his ass on TV and let him throw out this bullshit excuse as to why he used the word nigger so gratuitously. Hold on, listen to him.
An Achilles heel, because I used the wrong word.
Well, let me ask you about that moment 15 years ago.
Yes. And they got the black reporter here going along with it. Come on, brother.
That phone call with your son.
Correct.
You were using language, and over 6 times during that call, you used the N-word.
Yes, sir.
Why were you using that word so freely?
Well, I thought I had a pass in the black tribe to use it, kind of like Eminem.
Who gave you the pass?
The brothers.
Who are the brothers?
I had just, you know, gotten out of prison in 1979 after spending time in 18 months in Texas, and it was probably 3/4 from the black tribe. So that was a word that we used back and forth as maybe a compliment. My pass expired.
Nobody gave this fool a pass. In Entertainment Tonight, they let him get on TV and tell this blatant ass lie. That's a damn lie. Nobody from the black tribe gave this dude no pass to say niggers, niggers, niggers. Niggers have no soul. Don't sleep with a dirty nigger, nigger. I mean, nobody gave him a pass. He didn't say that shit in an endearing term. This is a damn lie. Eminem don't even say it. Like, Eminem don't use nigger on record. Now, Eminem got caught on some private recordings and he got checked for that using the N-word. See, they try to hide behind Eminem to try to make it a hip-hop thing. No. No. Eminem don't have a pass to say nigga. Eminem got checked hard for that little racist rant he went on back in the day. Eminem got checked real hard because of that shit. Hold on.
For using it, but no one told me that. To say a racist name doesn't qualify to make you a racist.
Yes, it does. It. Okay. Boy, if you let them tell it, well, just because I call you niggers and you niggers have no soul, that doesn't mean I'm a racist. I'm a hip-hop guy. Stop it.
qualify to make you a racist.
If you use that word, use that word and you use it in your regular everyday life, it makes you a racist.
I have more black friends than Eminem.
God.
That is the proximity.
He keeps bringing up Eminem. Okay.
Eminem.
That is the proximity argument. Like, okay. I have lots of black friends, so that should make me okay with black people.
Chapman also denies his daughter's allegations that he used homophobic language.
And then you saw, and that's what I don't like. This is the whole thing. Yeah, he said something racist, but he also said something homophobic. So let's change the subject to homophobia. This is a con game. Nobody in jail gave him a pass because he was in jail for killing a black man. They always leave that out. The white media never acknowledges this. And they know he did it. I done brought this up for years. I done found the paperwork. It was a racial killing. After they killed this old black man out there in Texas and robbed him. And then after they left, they were like, oh, that was one tough nigger. Yeah, we killed the nigger. They were calling him all types of niggers after they killed him. The white media knows this, but they give him a pass. They protect him and give him a pass. This is part of the white supremacist code. They all look out for each other. This is why we have to put folks on that Summer Jam screen. And speaking of the Summer Jam screen, our brother Ahmaud Arbery, the brother who got killed out there, who got lynched by those white supremacists down there in Georgia, our brother Ahmaud Arbery, you know, the race soldiers, the white supremacists who killed him, who lynched him, they're still on trial right now. Well, they're about to go on trial. And what's great is that one of the DAs out there, and I talked about her, this is a tweet of me talking about Jackie Johnson. This is from last year. I said, this is Jackie Johnson, pictured with one of the men who lynched Ahmaud Arbery, Gregory McMichael. This is a whole network of these suspected white supremacists in key positions, and they protect each other. All of them are complicit. I tweeted this a year ago, and this just happened today. Jackie Johnson indicted for misconduct because she was up here helping these white supremacists. Her ass got indicted too. Praise Ogun. She got indicted. Good. See? We have to put these folks on the Summer Jam screen. We have to keep up the pressure. We have to put these folks on the Summer Jam screen, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to us to do that. She got indicted because she was up here. I told people a year ago she was up here helping these damn people. We have to start pointing this thing out, pointing these folks out, taking names, finding out who they're all clicked up with. You understand? We got to put them names out there. When we put them names out there, then it's almost inevitable that there has to be some kind of investigation. We got to put them names out there. When you put those names out there, they got to start investigating them. You understand? Heavy stuff. But as far as Dog the Bounty Hunter talking about he got black friends, I mean, hell, that could be Candace Owens. Yeah, when they say they got black friends, they mean they cool with Larry Elder and Candace Owens. That don't mean a damn thing. The I got black friends argument means nothing. Dylann Roof had black friends, and the black friend was a damn coon talking about Dylann Roof wasn't racist after he done mowed down a church full of black folks. And he had the coon friend up here talking about he wasn't racist. Just because you cool with a coon, that don't mean anything. And speaking of Candace Owens, she went to get a COVID shot or something, a COVID vaccine or something. Or a test, something like that. She went to a private company and they denied her ass because she's such a coon. The white people denied her. They're like, no, you do too much. So the white people denied her from this private company. They denied her a COVID test. They didn't want to really deal with her based on her white supremacist ass licking. So she does a video screaming racism now. Now, hold on. Listen, this is Candace Owens. Listen.
racist thing. Maybe COVID's racist. Maybe Susanna's racist. I don't freaking know. I don't know. The last time a white Democrat refused a black person service and said it's because I don't like your thoughts and ideas, we were in the Jim Crow era. But here we are, and we're actually in Aspen, Colorado, and Susanna wants you to know that she will Google you. This virus is not political, but she's Googling people that are signing up for tests to make sure that their politics align with Susanna's. Like, yeah, welcome to the public health crisis. Don't.
Okay, Candace, no, dear. Candace, you done spent your little mammy-ass career denying racism. Ma'am, don't you play that game, Candace. You've been sitting around here talking about we are race baiters. You have me blocked because you call me a race baiter. Use a bed wench, white ass kissing mammy who tell black, you tell black people we cry about racism too much. Ain't no more racism. So don't go around here running your mouth about there's racism against you now. No, because back in the day, you scream racism, got a bag because somebody was discriminating against you. You got like $30,000. You had the NAACP help you get a bag. After you got the bag, you start cooning it up, talking about what no racism. So you're getting a bag from the white supremacists. Now a white person denied you something and you're talking about Jim Crow era, denying a black person services. Stop. This is a flip-flapping mammy. She flip-flaps and flip-flops left and right. This is an opportunist. This is the biggest opportunist on the planet. This is why I don't entertain none of their bad faith arguments where they try to sit up and act like, oh, ain't no racism. Those are bad faith arguments. The minute it hits them, they're the main ones trying to scream racism. We're not trying to hear it. Go sit down, mammy. Go and sit down. We are not going for it. And speaking of Los Angeles, I was talking about Los Angeles earlier. There was a story earlier talking about there was a Beverly Hills task force that was targeting black people out here. They arrested like 105 people and 104 of them were black. And then they tried to spin it and say, okay, it was black and brown because the one person they arrested, the one non-black person was Latino. So they're targeting black and brown. No, they're targeting black people and there was one Latino sacrifice. But it's like, that's an anti-black task force. They were just gaffling up random black people in Beverly Hills. Now, if you go to Beverly Hills, there's a bunch of homeless white people out there left and right, but they're not really arresting them. But black people out there shopping, they were targeting them. So don't tell me about ain't no damn racism. We are in a complete system of white supremacy, and we should expect the racial targeting. We should expect that in a system of white supremacy, as our brother Neely Fuller tells us. We should expect it. This is why we got to get codified. There's no other way around that. We have to get on code and we have to weed out the people who are not on code. And that brings us to some of the non-codified, non-FBA folks out here who's doing little slick stuff. Family, did y'all see this little nonsense that this dude did from the South African dude? And I got a lot of love in South Africa. I love my South African brothers and sisters. But there was this designer who came out with this right here, ladies and gentlemen. South African designer had to apologize for his rope ties. So this South African dude came out with a bunch of ties that look like nooses that go around your neck. Okay, only a non-FBA person would put some shit like this together. Let's be very real. This dude knew what he was doing. Daniel's rope ties. He knew that this would be something that would be pandering to the white supremacists. He knew what it was. Let's be clear. Ties around your neck that looks like a noose. This dude knew that it was disrespectful to foundational black Americans. He knew what he was doing. And when I saw the rope ties, I said, this is the work of a non-FBA person right here. I knew immediately that the person who did this was non-FBA. Only a non-FBA person would do something this damn disrespectful based on history, based on the history that we've had to suffer over here. You understand? We already knew. And he's not sorry. He knew this was going to give him some shine. These niggas do this. They do this type of disrespectful stuff to get shine, to get attention. He knew that this would be something that the white supremacists would want to buy, because racist memorabilia, that's something that's being sold heavy on the underground market. Look up Black Americana. Stuff like that. Little nooses and images of black people getting lynched and images of black kids getting eaten by alligators. That's something that's sold on the little underground eBay market. There's a market for that stuff. So this dude knew what he was doing. He's not dumb. He knew what he was doing. And we have to understand, we're just going to have to keep it a buck, man. This is where the Pan-Africanism is. You know, we're going to have to get out that pie in the sky mentality, thinking that there's going to be some kind of big grand Pan-Africanism thing popping. And it's just not. That doesn't say that we don't get love from certain brothers and sisters in the diaspora. But as far as a big Pan-Africanism movement, that's not happening right now. It's just not happening. We got too many opportunists out there. And another reason it's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is stuff like this. Let me show y'all what else is going on. This is going on over in Rwanda right now. Stuff like this. This is why right here. This is in Rwanda. An Asian man beating the brakes off one of his Rwandan workers who was accused of stealing. He's up here beating this man. This is an Asian man beating the Rwandan worker. And there's a couple of Sambos standing by, watching their black brethren get beaten by an Asian man. This is our Pan-Africanism right here. Look at these dudes standing around watching this Asian guy who doesn't really have any kind of power. He's just a business owner. Not like he's a cop or anything. That's your Pan-Africanism right there. Now, let's be clear. We go over there trying to buy some land, boy, they'll stab us. If we go over there in large numbers, boy, they come at us all types of crazy, but they sit here and let this Asian man whoop on them. Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. If y'all sitting around letting that go down, I'm cool. I'm cool. You understand? See, that's why they got laws over here to protect Asians from us, because we ain't going to let that go down. We ain't going to just let them sit around beating on us like that. Not with no man standing around. Even the sisters will fight back a little bit. Now, you got some mammies who will get beat up and still go to these damn stores. But brothers ain't really standing around letting no Asian beat on them or beat on no other brother or beat on no sister. They don't do that shit when there's an FBA brother standing around. They know this shit will go all the way left. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not trying to beat up on the brothers and sisters in the diaspora, but that type of nonsense right there, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. And again, that's why they got to have all of that stop Asian hate thing. These are laws so that they can try to let Asians pull that stuff with us over here, but we're not going to let that go down. We're not letting that go down at all. You know, that's that Democratic hustle. And speaking of Democratic hustle, let me show y'all this headline that they had. This con game right here. Al Sharpton to Biden. The black community is being stabbed in the back. Now, this is a con game right here. Now, here's the headline. Al Sharpton hits the stage Saturday during a voting rights rally to tell President Biden that supporters of the filibuster are stabbing the black community in the back. So now Sharpton and these guys are doing this political theater, running around here talking about trying to show fake outrage over Biden. And this is a way for them to try to galvanize the black community, talking about some damn voting rights. He's up here talking about Congress should pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act
because they're stabbing black people in the back if they don't pass the Voting Rights Act. This is a con game, guys. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act is not for us. This is not for us. Family, we can already vote. This is to get illegal immigrants to vote. This is to give the rights to illegal immigrants so they can vote, so they can ride off our back, so they can ride off our struggle so that illegal immigrants can vote. You understand? This is a con game. Biden did not stab us in the back because we already knew Biden wasn't going to do shit for black people. Biden stabbed us in the chest and told us what kind of knife he was going to use before he stabbed us. Biden stabbed us in the front. We knew Biden was going to stab us. He did not stab us in the back. We knew the knife was coming. Biden described the knife and told us, I'm not doing nothing for y'all. Y'all better get used to these damn Latinos. We gonna empower the white LGBT, the white Latinos, other immigrant groups. And we're not giving you nothing. They already told us that we were not stabbed in the back. That's why niggas sitting up here whining about Biden. I don't want to hear it. You knew Biden wasn't going to do nothing. Don't sit up here. Man, I don't know. I don't think I should have voted for Biden. I got tricked. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You simple Sambos. You got enticed by the collard greens and catfish nuggets that they offered your dumb ass. The Democrats came around talking about partying and hugging, and y'all was so happy to get a hug. You were so happy to get black-eyed peas and catfish nuggets and to be a part of the little festivities. Now that the festivities are over and everybody else is empowered over your ass, you sitting here acting like you got tricked. No, you didn't. They treated you like a plantation Sambo and you fell for it. Yeah, he called Biden called a black dude from FEMA a boy. Biden didn't stab nobody in the back. He stabbed you in the chest. Stop playing. But too many of us like being on the damn plantation. We like this little plantation relationship we have with the dominant society. Black folks like that. Black people like that. Too many black folks like that. Plantation mentality. Let's keep it real. And that brings us to the women we're talking about on today's broadcast. Ciara, Normani, and Megan Thee Stallion, they were over in Italy. They were at some kind of gala with a bunch of rich white Italians. And they took it upon themselves, ladies and gentlemen, to start busting it open and twerking. This is Ciara, Normani, I think that's her name, Normani. And Megan twerking in front of all these white rich folks. Hold on, this is them. So the white people are standing around looking at these women act like plantation mammies. Okay. And the white people are looking at them. Okay. These are women who are supposed to be papered up. Okay. All right. Okay. So these are women who are supposed to be papered up, ladies and gentlemen. They are supposed to be papered up and they're out here twerking like thirsty hood rats. Yes, I said it. Yes, 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 I said it. That's not a good look. And you have a lot of other mammies who aspire to be like them up here talking about what's the damn problem? Can't we just have some fun? What's wrong with having fun? You know, slave play Twitter. What's wrong with having fun? It's just some fun. We just trying to have some fun. Ain't nothing wrong with them twerking and having some fun. Everything ain't about you popping your ass open. When is it inappropriate to twerk? I mean, at this point, people are twerking everywhere. We got mammies and bedwenches and plantation minions who just think that no place is inappropriate. People be twerking in church. I've seen people twerk at funerals. You twerk around kids. You twerk. I've seen motherfuckers in the hospital getting up twerking. When is it inappropriate to damn twerk, to bust your ass open, to be a damn gutter snipe? There's a time and place for everything. But we've been reduced to plantation activities where gutter sexuality is supposed to be a defined part of our culture. And the dominant white society, they've given a wink and a nod to this gutter culture. So we do things that we think will keep us safe. So we get out here acting like plantation thoughts, we'll be safe. The white supremacists won't be mad. As you see, the white people are standing around smiling and laughing, but they're laughing at you because now you're satisfying their stereotypes. Oh, yes, this is how they're supposed to act. Yes. Arrivederci. Yes, the Italians. Look at the niggas. Look at the negresses. This is how they're supposed to act. I heard about them. Yes, it's good to see it. See, we got to stop that tacky shit. There's a time and place for everything. You don't have to walk right into the stereotypes. There's a time and place for everything. You see, the dominant white society, they created this type of mentality. And they give it a green light. And we think everything they give a green light to, when they give us a green light, we're supposed to do it all the time. No, you're not. Because let me tell you something. There's a time and place for them in white society. They don't let you do that type of shit in certain locations. They don't let the white women do that type of shit. You see, this is the problem. We have such an imbalance between black men and black women. See, black men ain't really calling no shots, and they've allowed a lot of the women in our society to just do whatever. Nobody checks it. Because see, white daddy is supposed to be the one who gives the green light to everything. And white daddy says, I give you a green light to pop your ass at any inopportune moment, in any inappropriate setting, you can pop your ass and I give you a wink and a nod. But let's be very clear. When it comes to certain settings, they don't let white women do that type of shit. Here's an example. One of our brothers, our brother On Code brother, shout out to On Code brother. He posted this. Now this is a similar type of gala. Now this video is from a couple of years ago. So this white woman, I think this is this white man's daughter. She got a little tipsy and she thought she was going to show out a little bit. She thought she was going to turn around and twerk. Look at his reaction when she tried to pull that. Okay. So look at her. Get back. You see that? White man stopped that shit real quick. Get your ass back. Oh, he stopped that real quick. No. We don't do that. You can do that around niggas, but not around us. You are a white woman. You see? He checked that real quick. The message was, no. If we had some negresses up in here, that would be okay. You're not a nigga. You are a white woman. I know you drunk, but you gonna act like a white woman. And white women don't do that. You understand? They shut that shit down real quick in their society. They don't play that game. But see, in our society, see, we don't have brothers in positions. And because of the system of white supremacy, you don't have a brother saying, hey, that's not cool. And when brothers say it's not cool, brothers get marginalized. Oh, he just hates the sisters. If you say, hey, sisters, hey, I like twerking like the next man, but there's a time and place for certain things. You understand? There's a time and place for everything. But we don't have a thorough black male and black female type of relationship. And I'm going to put a lot of this on the brothers. The brothers are not stepping up like they should. We have to have more brothers in authoritative positions. That's the problem. You don't have too many brothers in authoritative positions. And all of it is because of the system of white supremacy. We understand that. I'm never going to negate that as long as we're in the system of white supremacy. But we have to start having brothers out here. We have to raise them to start thinking like bosses. To start thinking with a boss mentality so that a lot of this loosey-goosey behavior won't go down if there's some thorough brothers in the mix. If you notice, look at the picture. There are really no brothers in here. There's one dude over here, some dude who kind of looks mulatto, but he might be Italian. There's a lot of Italians who look like that. And he look moist. That's another thing too. So he might be Italian. I don't even think he's a brother. He's an Italian. A lot of these Italians, they still got them black features from the Moors being up in there centuries ago. But you don't have no brothers in here saying, hey, well, you know, what's up with that? You understand? So we got a lot of brothers out here who are in positions where they have to follow the women. So you got to follow the women. So you're the ones getting checked. You're not doing the checking. And when we say check, that means just make sure you're on code with your behavior. See, we got to understand when we talk about checking behavior, it's not like on some Ike Turner shit. Sometimes you have to say to your woman or the women in your community, hey, what you're doing is off code, sister. We need to be on code with what we're doing here. We have to kind of present ourselves a certain way at this juncture. Now, we can twerk and do all that ratchet shit. There's a time and place for that. This ain't the time and place. We're going to have to start representing. When we get around certain settings, we need to represent. We need to step our shit up and really represent. And also set an example for children who are black. See, when you see black children, when black children see this, they think, okay, damn, if I get around a bunch of high class people or well-to-do people, I'm supposed to bust it open. No, we got to get out that mentality. Because see, they're already working on our children's minds. They're already working on the minds of our kids. You understand? The boys and girls. We already got enough of this out here right now. We got enough of this. Lil Nas X out here taking pregnancy photos. They got to do this type of gutter shit in order to have this man sell a record. And they use Lil Nas X as a badger to beat the black community. They use him to abuse the black society and especially black children. This is something that they use to attack black children with. Because, see, they sit up and give this dude all types of deals to do coloring books and all that, and then they put this type of filth out. That's to confuse our children. This is warfare, and I'm not going to put too much stock into this dude because they use the outrage in order to give this guy shine. He can't get shine unless he does something stupid and have people talking about how stupid it is. So that's part of the marketing. They have him do outrageously stupid shit. People talk about how stupid it is, and that's the marketing technique. But we have to understand, our children are being attacked with this. This is used as warfare against our children. This is why we have to counter it. This is why buck breaking is very important. This is why our museum is very important. This is why we are creating a space where we can take our children, where they can be surrounded around empowerment. You understand? This is why I thought the images of sisters like this, Dr. Welsing, Biddy Mason, images of sisters like that, that's important to counterbalance this. You busting your ass open around a room full of white folks. You understand? This is why this is important. This is why I'm such an advocate of Dr. Welsing and Biddy Mason and sisters like that. You understand? There's a time and place for everything. I like a little ratchetness here and there. I like a little gutter shit every now and then. But I also like empowerment. And there's a time and place for everything. And the time now is for empowerment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Family, we're doing a music video this weekend for the new Mink Slide EP that's coming out. The new Mink Slide EP coming out October 1st, called Funk on Wheels. Coming out October 1st. Y'all look out for that on Spotify, iTunes. We're going to have the pre-sales come up in a couple of days, actually, for the EP. So everybody get on that pre-sale for the EP. And I'm going to holla this Sunday. Y'all be good.